Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Week in Reading List from Money Talking. Hello, I'm Charlie Herman. With me, Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Jonah Serra with the New York Times. And this week, I'm reading the cover story of Business Week, which is all about Tesla and the love of Tesla, how it did it. This is the electric car that is just so popular with celebrities and famous people. And I think that's partially one of the reasons why it may have achieved the fame that it has, which is that they were really, really smart at getting good PR and getting famous people to drive that car around and get a lot of attention. So now they're at this level of trying to sell it to the masses, see if people are interested. They're completely upending the model for car dealerships. So I'm really looking forward to seeing
this. This is like a $100,000 car.
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's why it's for celebrities.
But they've done an amazing job of like making sure that any, you know, any media outlet that wants to profile them, you see the cars, you have – it's sort of like seeing a celebrity with a fashionable handbag and everybody wants that bag. Well, you see the celebrities driving a Tesla and they love it, and now they're trying to sell more affordable cars.
I've driven it.
And?
It's a wonderful thing.
See, you did it right there.
Would you buy it if you had $100,000, though?
Well, if it really had, if the $50,000 sedan, not that I can afford a $50,000, but if the $50,000 sedan that they're trying to market now does in fact have a range of 200 to 250 miles as opposed to 50 miles an hour like all the other electric cars, I certainly would consider it.
All right. I got to come clean and say I was in Aspen recently and there were a lot of very wealthy people driving energy efficient cars and it makes me roll my eyes.
Why is that?
Well, you know, as their sprinklers are going 24/7 and their air conditioning units are cranking, I don't know. The whole juxtaposition is troubling to me.
Well, what are you reading?
So I'm reading nothing to do with business, but just a really wonderful novel by James Salter called All That Is. It's his new novel. And, you know, he's just a writer's writer, not as well known as some of his peers, but it's a wonderful book. It's the travels of a young publishing, a young editor in these various sort of worlds of wealth, many of them in New York, and he never quite lands. But what's really great about this book, frankly, is that James Salter is 88 years old. I mean, this guy started this novel, which is so fresh and fast-paced and wonderful and has lots of great sex in it, when he was in his late 70s. And I just find that, as somebody who has not yet written their first book at 43, very hopeful.
There's always second acts.
There are.
And third acts. Joe?
Well, I'm reading a book that I was drawn to in part because I used to work for Fortune magazine. And Fortune magazine, one of its traditions is a history, is a great tradition of sociological reporting that goes back to William White, who wrote The Organization Man, which is a book that is as much about life in the suburbs as it is about how organizations work. White left Fortune soon thereafter, and he really did become one of the nation's preeminent urbanologists, and Jane Jacobs was one of his mentees. So here we are all these years later, and Rana and our mutual friend, Lee Gallagher, who's an assisting manager editor at Fortune, has written a book called The End of the Suburbs, which is kind of the opposite of the William White book. And her basic argument is not that the suburbs are completely dead, but that they're not what people yearn for anymore, that people want to be in the cities again, that they don't want to be in cars anymore.
And how that change came about, that you,
right.
If you can, you want to live in the city.
And so I'm really intrigued to read her arguments, to see who her characters are. And my instinct is that she's right, but I want to hear how she pieces it together.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of this book has to do with energy efficiency, which we were just talking about, and, you know, permanently higher energy costs, and also creative hubbing. You know, brand Brooklyn is on the cover of Vogue right now because you've got all these creative people in one place, which is something Richard Florida and others have been writing about for years. By the way, Lee told me I should never sell my place in Brooklyn.
You're going to keep that for a long time. Well, if you want to read this, any of the things that we're reading this weekend, let us know what you think about them. Or leave a comment here on the website and tell us what you think we should read. Or you can tell us at Twitter, at Money Talking. Joe, are you going to join Twitter?
No, I am not.
I wonder why. And if you have any...
I'm 8 tweets in. I just want to tell you guys.
Well, keep on coming. I'm above 1,000 followers right now. Well, if you have any suggestions for what you think we should check out, let us know. We'd love to hear them. Don't forget you can download the podcast of Money Talking for free, available on iTunes. This week, Rana, Joe, and I delve into the topic of climate change and whether or not the president's proposals to limit greenhouse gas emissions will have an impact on the economy and business. It's really important because it's all about why it's so hot. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, Joe Nocera with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you. And my daughter has 6,500 followers.
I've got competition.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm Charlie Herman with only 1,000 followers, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.